Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Love Fruit podcast. And today we are joined by Dave Escamilla or Escamilla. I'll find out the exact pronunciation very soon. Dave is, among other things, has a really cool band. For one thing, he's a really good musician. And this year, or last year, sorry, he was the host, the main organizer of the Texas Fruit Festival, but he also has his own fascinating story with his journey of healing and raw foods and those kind of topics. So, Dave, is there anything else you'd like to add about to introduce yourself to people?
Thanks, Ronnie. It is Escamilla. Host of the Texas Fruit Festival, which we do every year. And so after you're done attending the UK Fruit Festival in the summer, if you're gonna be close to Texas in the fall, that's when we do Texas Fruit Festival. And then I got a chance to meet you and stuff at hung out with you at Woodstock, and you and I are fellow musicians, and so we share that. And Ronnie's a very talented musician also, if you haven't heard his music. But no, that's a good intro. Just been studying natural health and food and diet for the last 8 or 9 years, for my own, try to fix my own personal issues, really.
Absolutely, and I wanted to say I did attend the Texas Fruit Festival last year. I heard about it actually from the very start, from years ago when it was being planned, and it was really fun. I mean, I thought it was better than I expected it to be. I really enjoyed it. It was maybe the hottest day I'd ever experienced in my entire life.
Yeah, after we did it last year, we moved it. We were doing it in early September, which I don't know why that ever got planned like that, because we're in Austin, Texas. But this year we're gonna do it October 19-20.
I know.
So yeah, the weather, God willing, should be nice.
I want to say to everyone, it is worth the trip, and there was a good crowd there last year. There were some really good talks. It was good fun, and so definitely make the effort. And we'll talk more about that in this interview. But firstly, yourself, most people didn't start off on a raw foods diet or a vegan diet or natural health diet growing up. So what about yourself? Did you grow up with any of those kind of lifestyles exposed to you, or were you on a more regular or standard lifestyle growing up?
Yeah, no, I had no idea of the raw foods, and nor would I have, I think, really cared about it, because for most of my life I was quite happy just eating the standard diet, processed foods. And I did try not to go too overboard, because you try to keep a good weight and everything, so you can't. But no, I was all about just enjoying life. I was having my fun, and I didn't even I wasn't thinking too much about even plant-based or any of that type of thing when I was for most of my life until for basically most of my life until things kind of took a turn when I was like 22. But no, I wasn't thinking about that at all. I would have been the last person to start doing that kind of thing.
And did you experience any health issues when you were growing up?
No, I mean, I was in fairly good health. And that's why I think more, some people don't want to do anything until there's a problem, basically. If someone's going about their life and they're enjoying relatively good health and they can still eat unhealthy foods, then m for the most part, people will just continue to do that until they really are faced with a problem.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so when was the first time for you that you were exposed to the idea of, experimenting with diet or changing diet?
Yeah, so what happened was, and basically when I was 22, I was at the time I was kind of into partying and having a good time and experimenting, you know. And I, so basically, I overdosed on some cough medicine because I was trying to get high off of the cough medicine, basically, which is something that definitely recommend that you never do. But basically, it was actually a big turning point for me because that night when I did that, I took too much cough medicine, and it messed me up really bad. Because the next day, I felt absolutely horrible. So this pharmaceutical, you know, mixture, and that level of dosage, I just did something absolutely horrible to my system, because I felt just like completely exhausted, headaches, couldn't think straight. I had horrible brain fog, and basically, I thought it was going to be like a hangover, but in fact, I continued to feel like that, and basically, nonstop, 24/7, that feeling never went away, and so here I was, you know, basically now in this crisis, and basically for the next about 4 years, I felt like that every single day, and I was like, my life was kind of turned upside down by that whole incident.
Could you describe what it felt like?
Yeah, it just it felt like I've always felt like I've been intelligent or had good awareness. So it felt like I had my mind, that I still had my mind, but that I was trapped in a slower brain. The brain itself was not operating, and I couldn't access my ability to communicate, my ability to, you know, analyze and think through things logically, quickness, you know, my quick wit, my humor, like all those things that I enjoyed, my charm, all of that, I couldn't access it. I felt like I was just as smart, but like my faculties were all slowed down, and on top of that, I felt completely exhausted. I was sleeping for like 12 and 14 hours a night, and I was completely exhausted, couldn't think straight, and as you can imagine, I became quite depressed as well, during the midst of this. So it was a nightmare.
I want to ask about the cough medicine. Where did you find that out that you can get high from cough medicine and stuff? How did that happen?
Yeah, so this is something that apparently the kids, I don't know if they still do it. This would have been like, I found out about it in like the mid 2000s when I was in high school. And what was weird is that I actually did it a few times in high school, me and my friend, and but I forget where we heard about it, but it was kind of this thing that the kids would do, and so, but this was without incident. We did it a few times in high school, did it again in college, and it really went over horribly. And I'm not sure why. I think maybe it's because we use the generic brand,
Oh, wow.
and I, that's complete speculation. But yeah, apparently kids would do this, and it's really, at the time I would experiment with all kind of substances, but never had any long-lasting issues except for this one.
Wow. So you're feeling bad for 4 years.
Oh, yes.
What was the next step for that? Like, at what point did you start trying to do something about this with the natural health and diet
Oh,
like that?
okay, right. So eventually I kept looking around, and I was hoping that there was going to be a solution out there, although I gave up pretty much most of my hope, but I stayed curious, and I guess what got me into it was I found out about this. I came across like a liver cleanse. It was Dr. Ed Group. And he was talking about a liver cleanse, And that really resonated with me. And I thought, yeah, I could probably use that. And so I decided to try that. I tried the liver cleanse. It was like a 5-day program. And you have a lot of the stuff that comes out. And when that happened, I did feel better immediately. Not all the way better, but I maybe felt, 20% better, just instantaneously, when I did this cleanse. And so I thought, man, that was powerful. And I actually felt so much better at the time that I started to basically, I had a lot more energy. And so I started eating a lot more junk food because I was kind of feeling like, man, I can eat anything. It doesn't slow me down. And so I kind of went on like a tear for a few weeks of eating really bad junk food, which I had been eating a lot of anyways over the years, because I was it was kind of a vicious spiral. And so what happened was, a few weeks later, then I got a really bad cold. I got really sick, and I intuitively felt like, man, I'm getting sick because I've been eating like crap, and it's catching up to me. And I remember Dr. Ed Group saying in the instructions, when you do this, you might go through a healing crisis. And so I sort of thought, maybe this is a healing crisis, which I don't even really know what that means. And so I did a search for healing crisis. And that's when I found a video by Dr. Robert Morse, who, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you know. But he did a video about a healing crisis. And when I watched that video, it made complete and total sense. Everything he was saying, it just clicked immediately. Even though I had never heard about fruit or raw veganism or anything, but everything he was saying, just immediately, I thought, that makes total sense. And he was saying, just eat as much fruit as you can, et cetera, et cetera. So then it was really bad cold. And what I did was, I ate as much fruit as I could. I was still eating normal food too, but I was trying to eat a lot of fruit. And what I found was, 3 or 4 or 5 days later, after the cold ended, I actually felt better after the cold than I had felt before the cold. And that was a first for me, because normally when I get to the end of the cold, I feel actually slightly worse. And so that really clicked for me. That was like in 2015, and at the time, I thought, man, I've really stumbled on something here, like a an amazing discovery. And I decided, I'm gonna really put my foot on the gas here, and I'm gonna keep going with this. And so immediately, I started to eat as much fruit as I could, and that was my introduction to really feeling the. It's one thing to hear about it and learn about it, but you try it for yourself and you actually experience the power of the healing power of fruit. And I experienced that, and it moved me in a powerful way.
What changes did you experience?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it helped me immediately helped me get over that cold, and it helped those symptoms go away, just of the cold. And then when the cold lifted, I felt a little more clear-minded and light. But remember, I was still experiencing pretty bad symptoms from the cough medicine and everything. So what I noticed then is, when I would eat fruit, I kind of felt like, it was sort of hard to describe, but it felt like sort of like an awakening of the body. At the time, I was able to eat like maybe fruit for breakfast, and then maybe another meal of fruit in the late afternoon or something. And then I would have like two regular meals of regular food. I was still really craving regular food, so I was eating that. But the more I would eat the fruit, the more I would feel like this awakening happening in the body, and like this flow of energy kind of moving through the body. And as I learned about it and was trying to find people to learn from, I was realizing, okay, well, the fruit is doing all kinds of things. It's hydrating, it's alkalizing, it's providing probiotics, it's providing the fiber and all the nutrients. And so I was realizing what was happening, but it was a feeling where I could feel my body sort of energy flow kind of turning back on, and going through the body. And it was and there's also a spiritual element. I think there's a awareness to the fruit and intelligence to that living electrical food. So it was a lot. Some people find it, I think, overwhelming. But that was what it felt like, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing. And how long do you feel like you, or have you recovered, or how long did it take to recover, or where are you at now, do you think?
Yeah. So, basically, it took me about, I wanted to go on basically, I at the time, I feel like I discovered the solution. Like, okay, I guess there is a solution, maybe, I hope, and then I'm going to give it a try. And it took me about 2.5 years to trying to get on all raw and eat all raw for foods. And because I was so addicted to eating regular foods and junk foods. And so it took me that long. And then I would say in total, it was a gradual recovery. By the time I felt like I can, it was about 3.5 years, at which point I felt like, you know what? All my symptoms are gone. And I basically felt normal again. It was like 7.5 years after the incident. And I was like, okay, I feel normal again.
Wow.
So it was, and that was like in 2019, when I kind of finally felt like that. And
It took quite a long time then.
Yeah, it was.
What? How would you class your diet nowadays? Do you are you kind of fruit based? Are you vegan? Are you raw, mostly raw? Where do you class yourself now? And what was your transition like towards that?
Okay, so yeah, I mean, basically cleared up all the symptoms, and then since then I've been, now I guess, raw vegan. I mean, I that was 4 years ago or 5 years ago that I eliminated all the symptoms. That was 5 years ago. But since then, I've basically stayed 100% raw, and it's been mostly fruit. The longer I go, the more it gets towards more fruit. So yeah, I have stayed up with that. The transition was, that was really tough. I mean, it took me 2.5 years. And I understand. I think when people hear about this information about raw vegan, and fruit, I think it makes sense to most people. And people intuitively feel like, okay, that's correct, and that would work if applied. I think what a lot of people struggle with is just thinking, you know what, I can't pull it off, because it's too hard to eat like that, and I'll lack the discipline, and I'll want to eat these other cooked foods. And like, I totally understand, because I was c so addicted to foods, and it took a long time for me to stop eating junk foods and cooked foods. And what I'll say is that, like, it does get easier. It really does, because my cravings now are totally different. I don't crave junk foods, or I don't even really crave cooked foods. I'll eat cooked foods very occasionally. I'll have some cooked vegetables or something, but it's more for a social kind of social things rather than actually craving it. So it gets easier if you're transitioning right now. It does get easier. It just keep going,
Were
because yeah.
cravings the main challenge that you had changing, or well, yeah, was that the main one of the main challenges? And how did you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it was. And also there's a flip side of that coin of the cravings, which is the pressure of life, the stress of life. We have to go through life and deal with pressure and stress and stuff like that. And when we go through that, it makes the cravings more. The more that you're going through life and you're going through something stressful, then we're going to turn to food emotionally and out of stress and so forth. And so, yeah, that was the hardest part, because it's just so hard. And I'll say sometimes it's okay to lose the battle, and don't beat yourself up if you're going through transitioning, you're trying to eat healthier, and then you're having such an overwhelming day, and you just have this feeling. It's like this monster that's inside of you. It's like this beast, and it's just like, nah, feed me, feed me. And sometimes you can kill yourself trying to fight that beast too much. Like sometimes it's okay just to say, all right, fine, like I'm tapping out, and I'm gonna go eat something bad. It's a To answer your question fully, it's a really fine line, because you don't, like you said, you want to successfully transition. And so you don't want to give yourself such a pass that you never end up transitioning fully or meeting your goals. And so you want to slowly start cheating with healthier and healthier foods. Your cheat foods should get progressively healthier. That would be my advice, is try to find foods that resemble the foods that you really crave, but that are more healthy. So, for example, instead of like try to get off of the flour. If you're eating flour-based foods, try to go to like a gluten-free option. And then after that, try to go to a different option, like an almond flour, and then go to like coconut flour, and just try to you can nor a lot of times you can find foods that resemble the food you're really craving, but that's healthier, and then try to cheat with that healthier option.
That's a
That's one.
really cool piece of advice. And that it's funny that a lot of people that succeed with changing their diet figure out some of the same things, and some people don't figure these things out, and I think that's why they struggle. But it's a good reason why people should get advice and listen to people who've had these experiences.
Oh God, yeah, Ronnie, let me just say this. If I had been more smart about who I was listening to, and if I had gotten like a mentor like yourself, I could have, first of all, I don't think it would have taken 3.5 years to solve my issues. And I would have avoided so many pitfalls, I think, had I been m more committed to, I'm gonna find a mentor, and I'm gonna
Yeah,
stuff like that.
I personally feel the same. Like I took a route of going to a lot of, I was watching a lot of stuff online and going in forums, but I kind of went to a lot of events, and I never officially sort of hooked up with someone as a mentor, or I just went to these events and met the speakers and asked them questions and spent time with them, and that was a lot of it for me. But I do think that it would have helped, and there's a lot of mistakes and things that, even if it takes you, even as you're saying, like 3 years or 2 years or 6 months or whatever it is, you can still be making mistakes over 10 years, even small little things that you just get, that you little mistakes you make that you wouldn't mess up if you Yeah, if you've got the right advice and stuff. So it's really worthwhile seeking someone that can help.
Yes, and it doesn't have to be a coach that you pay necessarily. It could be you listen to Ronnie's information virtually, and you have like a virtual mentor
Yeah,
that you study.
I'd say I kind of did that. I kind of had virtual mentors, but you're right. I like the idea. There's a lot of people that they say, like even at Woodstock and stuff, obviously they like want to listen to all the speakers, right? And you want to listen to everyone, and people kind of think, I'm going to listen to everyone and I'm going to figure it out. And I always think better, like, find someone that you think has what you want, that you can understand them and make sense to you, and just try and follow exactly what they're saying. And don't try and get too complicated with listening to people talking about the carnivore diet and this guy talking about this other diet and this, like, ignore all that stuff. Just focus on find the person and just follow 100% what they're doing, at least for a while, and see what works for you.
You think people follow too many sources of information and try to go in too many different, or try to
Yeah.
make sense of too much
Well,
input?
personally, I think that what we found, and say that we went to Woodstock and there's 200, nearly 300 people there, 250.
Yep.
There'll be people that have left that. To me, that's like, this is the best diet you're going to find, the best information you're going to find, pretty much. And all this stuff. This community's got the best ideas. But a lot of those people will leave that festival and will still go out and listen to all of the gurus that are, all the weird health gurus out there that have all these weird ideas, and none of the ideas make any sense or whatever. But people get so wrapped up in all that stuff, and they never get sort of focused on like on the thing that's working for them. And so people that sometimes will come to me and say, oh, I heard this person say this about fruit, and I'm like, well, so this other person says that fruit's bad for me, or this other person, and you're like, well, why have you not taken in the, like, this is the diet that has the best explanation, I think. Because
Yes.
it's like, this is the diet that fits our body the best. Because it's hard to argue with that. It's hard to argue and say, well, actually, we should be eating
Cooks meat.
we should be eating cooked meat. And you're like, well, wait, how does that work? Because all the animals that eat meat, they don't need to cook it, and they get up every day and they want to go and hunt, and they have like claws and fangs and all this stuff that helps, and it's like, isn't that obvious? But once you figure this out, once you've found this information, doesn't that blow that all out of the water? But for a lot of people, it doesn't, and they still come back and say, but oh, this person says I need to take a selenium supplement or a magnesium supplement or all these supplements, and my Chinese herbalist said this, and my kinesiologist said I need to do this, and you're like, wait, you're still listening to that information.
What about you, Ronnie? How long have you been into raw foods? Over 10 years, yeah.
September 2011 was when I watched a video on YouTube. I'd watched Earthlings, and I was going to go vegan, and I was researching that on YouTube, and I came across Tim Van Orden, who was the Raw Runner at the time. And it was like a 7-minute video, a viral video that he was at a talk, and he was talking about protein. Like, people ask me where I get my protein. They ask if I eat nuts and seeds, legumes, beans, and stuff, but actually, I just eat fruits and vegetables. And he explained that we don't actually need protein, we need amino acids. And if we eat, when we cook our food, we're destroying a lot of amino acids. So, we eat raw food, we have plenty of amino acids. And then he went on to explain that he was outperforming, like, people that were half his age in athletics, and he was putting on more muscle than he needed to. And I was like listening to it, and I was amazed by it. And then it turned a few light bulbs on in my head, which was, not just the diet side, because I've kind of always been interested in what's the healthiest diet, but also the side of like, where do humans come from and why is our life so complicated and all the animals that have this really simple that I thought about that for years, and I would watch, the survival shows, and survival shows are always a guy goes out into the wilderness and then he shows you how he makes a weapon and he makes a net and a tent and he makes all this big structure and how he makes a fire, and it's like super complicated. You're like, how's anyone gonna, how come, how do we have to do all this? So when Tim said this, it was almost like at the same time, it was like, wait, this all makes sense now. Like it was so, and it was a number of different realizations after that. But I started to experiment fairly quickly after that. I wouldn't say I dived in straight away and was 100% raw or anything, but I started to experiment slowly with it and dip my feet in the water. And then the next August, I went to Woodstock the first time and I stuck with it after that. Like at Woodstock, that was kind of like all that year I was on and off. And then I decided running up to Woodstock, right, I'll stick with it. So maybe July, I stayed raw into going to Woodstock. And at Woodstock, I just met like a whole bunch of the, long-term raw vegan people. And I remember particularly, like, there was a guy called Robert Lockhart who's passed away, but he was an Australian guy and he was one of the speakers. And I got to talk to him a little bit and we had made a bit of a good connection. And one morning I went to the basketball court and he was working out just by himself. And this was a guy in his 70s and he was working out and his body was like really flexible and, he didn't have any pains, any arthritis, any aches or pains in his knees and everything. And I just thought, and he was really committed to the diet, but not in a kind of dogmatic way, just like he was relaxed about it. And that's what I liked about the people that have been doing it long term. They were all relaxed about it. They weren't like freaking out about the diet or, it wasn't a difficult thing. It was just easy for them. And they didn't even talk about it that much. It wasn't like they were obsessed with it. People would claim that about raw vegans, but actually they're not really obsessed with food or their diet or anything. And I just remember thinking, I want to be like these guys. Like this is, I want to be working out in my 70s and have no physical problems and all that and be sharp. And so that started being the path. And I love the tribe. It was like the first time
Yes.
I thought like, I really fit in with these people. Like they take care of themselves. It completely makes sense for them to take care of themselves. They don't, they're into personal development. A lot of them are into spiritual stuff. Like they're curious about life. Quite empathetic people quite a lot of the time. So it was like, this is a really cool tribe of people. So I've always loved coming to the events and because just the people you meet is really, really cool mix of people.
Greatest friends you'll ever make, greatest friends,
Yes.
good influence. You know how you have those friends that are through your life that are like the bad influence friends that you have? These are the complete opposite. These are good influence friends on you,
Yeah,
that are gonna,
like
yeah.
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing as well. Some of those people from going to that first Woodstock that I went to, I'm not necessarily in touch with all of them at all. And a lot of them aren't on this path anymore, raw vegan or whatever, but a lot of them went on to do really cool things with their life. And I'm absolutely sure that the festival and that community of people was very inspiring to them and was a big wake up call. And like some of them got on YouTube. They started doing raw vegan stuff, but maybe they changed and ended up doing some other kind of a YouTube channel. And it just changed their life. Like it was just so seminal and like in so many people's lives and taking their life in a different direction. And for me, this raw vegan thing is like I've went around the world in a sense because I love the events. So I don't really like randomly traveling that much, but when there's an event, like a raw vegan event, like there's going to be this tribe of people like-minded, the diet's going to be supplied, and it's going to be a cool time probably. And So I've kind of got a bit of a list of like how many fruit festivals I went to. I've got a bit of an ego
How
about it.
many?
I've got it's about like 37.
Wow.
But it does help that I've ran my own festival for 10 years. So that's 10 of them, you know, it's my own event. So but when I was at Fruit Stock, you know, at in the end of
Rootstock?
the Fruit Stock, it was a small event that happened a couple of years ago, just before the time I went to Texas Fruit Festival. My friend Emily said, "Oh, I'm going to Texas Fruit Festival." I was like, "Wait, is that happening? Like, is that happening while I'm here?" And I thought, so that's why I made the arrangements to try to come. I was very close to not coming, by the way.
That's right. You decided
Yeah,
like on the spot. You were just
probably
on a
like
whim.
the day or 2 days before. I was like, "Do I, should we do this? Should we do this?" I was with a friend as well, and then I thought, let's go. And I was really glad I went. As soon as I turned up, I was like, this is great. This
You
is
know what?
really great.
This is really good advice, which is if you're listening to this and you're dipping your toe in the water, you're learning from online people, and you're testing out the information for yourself. There's something that's really powerful about going to an event, meeting the people that are doing this, that are validating the success of this information. So if you're in Europe, go to UK Fruit Festival, or even if you're not in Europe, or go to the Woodstock Fruit Festival, or go to Texas Fruit Festival, because it makes the information real and it validates
Yeah,
the success.
I want to say this as well. Like, even if a person's not a raw vegan, they enjoy these events. Even people that come
Oh
with
yeah.
their partner, these are fun events. It's a good group of people. Like, it's fun, interesting information at least. So, it's a good event in itself, and it's valuable information wise with the talks, and it's great to have the food prepared for you and available to you, and all of that stuff. But there's an enormous value in the people that you meet, the connections you make, the friendships, potential, whatever, romantic relationships, even like there's so much like that comes out of these events, very long-term connections that people make. And I mean, I don't want to sound like overselling my event or whatever, but honestly, Dave, the way I feel about it sometimes with these events is like, and with my own, is if I say to someone, "Hey, do you want to come to UK Fruit Fest?" Most of the people I talk to are in the UK and or they're nearby or whatever, and you know, most people say no, and that's quite normal in life. Most people can't make it, or it's not for them, or the time's not right. There's so many reasons, but it's funny because in my head, what I feel like I'm saying is, "Hey, do you want?" I'm kind of offering like the best week of their life, like potentially, or like the best like week of their year, or their best, like I feel like I'm offering something like so awesome and so amazing, right? And then they're
And they
kind
don't
of
realize
like,
it.
and it doesn't it, but it doesn't translate for a lot of people. It's, for a lot of people, it's like, "Oh yeah, maybe another time," and I just don't think they know what they're missing out on, you know. And it's hard to. But it's the same with people that went, you know, there's people that have come to the event and have actively said to me at the end, "This was the best experience I've had. This is like one of the best weeks of my life. This is amazing. This is transformational for me." And then they never came back, you know. So this it's just funny the way people are. But no, I would highly like, and the I think like the Texas Fruit Fest, if you're still running it, everything is a no-brainer. And like I just think these events, if people can get to them, are a no-brainer. You know, there's very, especially I've always thought, and this is a bit of a rant of mine, but it was really great to see you and Skylar at Woodstock, because you know you were both involved in the Texas thing. You both made it to Woodstock, and I was like, that's great that they've come. There's so many people in the US that are raw vegans that have heard of Woodstock that haven't went. And it's been going for 11, 12 years. And I was so many, and I had friends who were raw vegans in the US, and I'd message them and say, "Are you going to go to Woodstock?" They'd be like, nah, it's not for me. Or they'd have excuses why they weren't going.
Yeah.
I'd just be like,
It's too much money. They'll say, oh, it's too much money.
Yeah, they would say there's always this thing like I could go to Thailand for 3 months for what you spend on going to Woodstock. And they're kind of right about that, although it's not as cheap to go to Thailand or whatever and live on durian as people like to think. But
But
it's
it's an excuse, but people have these rationalizations
oh
about when you ask them.
yeah, but it's one of those things where it's so I interviewed a guy who said that kind of thing to me, or I saw him say this online, Dave. He was like, you know, for the price of going to one of these festivals, I could go to Thailand for 3 months or wherever, Vietnam for 3 months or whatever, and live on fruit there. And it's like, okay, cool. Maybe you can. Maybe. I would still dispute that because you have to take a flight out there, passport, other expenses, whatever. But that's what he claimed. I also interviewed that guy about his story on a raw vegan journey. And he told me he went out to Thailand and his story was like he nearly died in Thailand, right? Because he basically got like anorexic. He started to believe in like sort of semi-breatharian ideas. He was a crazy body weight. He was like a skeleton. One of his friends killed himself. Like all this crazy stuff happened. And then he's saying stuff like, yeah, why would you go to Woodstock? I can go to Thailand for 3 months. And I've always seen him say that. And I'm like, well, you nearly died in Thailand. Like at Woodstock, you get the advice, you get like real long-term mentorship. You get people who aren't the famous people. You get the people that have been doing this for 20, 30 years who no one knows about, who are just like cool people that do this for themselves. And you also meet kind of other people who you get this community where if you are in a place, well, if you want to go traveling somewhere, maybe you've now got friends you want to go with so that you're not alone in a place and you're not falling apart and falling into bad advice, bad information. Like at my fruit festival, it's very clear for me to try and stop bad information. Like I don't want to put someone on stage who's saying, hey, you don't even have to eat. You can live on breath, or hey,
Right.
you can do dry fasting for 20 days and just not drink any water and not eat any food. Like I don't want to put any dangerous information out. So
100%.
So we want to at the events, at the very least, you'll get mostly at least you'll get like a high quality advice. So it's
No,
really
you're not overselling it. Ronnie is not overselling it, and neither am I.
yeah,
It
it's
is the
tough.
best decision, one of the best decisions you'll ever make.
It's just like if someone is in a position where they're going to go for a holiday experience anyway, like it's a worthwhile thing to do. But let me get back to your story there, because what I wanted to ask you was
Yes.
there was challenges with the cravings and stuff, but what about social? How did it affect your social life, your friendship life, family life? Did you have challenges with that?
For sure, yeah. So, that's one thing. Like, it's a challenge, and there's no way really around it. You have to be able to deal with that side of it, because here's the irony of how this all works, is that you're going through life and you're going to be presented with, like, the secrets of the universe, the solutions to all your health problems, and it's going to be delivered in this box to you, and all the information about how to do it. And then it's going to be basically like, okay, here, this is all you have to do, and it works. Okay, but the price that you th there's a price. You pay a price to do it. And part of that price is that some people are gonna they're gonna look at you like you're a freak. Like you're a space alien, basically. They're gonna look at you. And so, it's created some frictions for me. I think I've had friends that were friends of mine who kind of, judged me for it, or it can create a distance. I've had that experience where someone that you used to be close with as a friend, now you're still friends, but now there's kind of more of a distance, and they don't feel as much affinity because they're over here for whatever reason. I think just food is just so personal to people, and it's such a like animal thing. So I've definitely had that experience, and that's I think people some people are out there trying to sugarcoat it and say, that you can get around that type of thing and still live this lifestyle. But I'm basically my opinion is that it's gonna happen. Like you're gonna have some price that you pay socially to basically solve all your health problems. That's the price you pay to do it.
I love the way that you put that. The way you put that, where you said, like, here's the secret to the here's your answer, but here's the sacrifice, and it's really fascinating that. And for a lot of people, it might not be some a lot of people they decide not to make that sacrifice, I suppose. But do you have any specific situations, or how have you dealt with that socially, or when you get difficult questions or things like that, people make fun of you, or how have you learned to deal with that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say part of it I think is for me I like to create some personal space and personal boundaries. I enjoy my own space, my own time. So like things like figuring out like for example, if you're a younger person, maybe figure out how to not have roommates, just because now this might be a lesson regardless of what you're eating, just like it's good to basically empower your own space and your own individuality and to be able to create a space and create a boundary and have that. So part of it I think is about figuring out ways to create your own sovereign space where you can live in that space. But when you're dealing with other people, I think just like you mentioned earlier, Ronnie, laid back, you don't want to be arrogant. And so my approach has always been very, very laid back. Hey, yeah, this is what I'm eating for lunch. This is what I mean. I'm having a smoothie. I'm eating some fruit. I'm having a salad. And people might be like, oh my God. And I'm very laid back about it. Like, yeah, I think people appreciate, 'cause frankly, a lot of the, so, sometimes vegans, particularly vegans can come across kind of preachy and like, they're trying to make everyone else feel wrong for how they're eating. I would say, don't do that. If you want to just be easygoing with people and get along with people. So I think people appreciate when you're laid back, relax about it and just say, hey, here's what I say. I say like, yeah, I'm kind of like, I got into eating this way because of X, Y, and Z. I had some health problems and now I'm basically trapped. Like, I'm basically have to eat this way because regular food is like my kryptonite now. And if I eat regular food, I feel horrible. So I'm basically just I'm trapped like this for life, I guess. And it's kind of like a little bit of self-deprecating humor, but
Sure.
people kind of appreciate that.
Did
But
you
it's true. It is true because I just. Whenever I try to go back and eat regular food, it just, I don't feel good.
humor is a brilliant way of dealing with it. I think there's a lot of people that try and deal with it by arguing with people, or saying, well, I'm right and you're wrong, and that doesn't really, first they probably don't really they're not really looking to understand what you're doing entirely, and they probably don't care that much, but also it just creates arguments and weird vibes, bad vibes.
Yes, And you'll by not doing that, by not trying to be right and just sharing with someone where you're coming from in an open way, it might plant a seed. Most people are not going to be interested, but it might plant a seed with somebody. And then years later, maybe now they're having a health problem. They might think back and say, you know what? I remember that time I talked to Ronnie and he was like, he saw, he was doing this, and it might, that seed might suddenly grow into something later.
The interesting
But
thing is,
not trying to pitch somebody, not trying to be so like persuade everybody all the time to eat this. I'm definitely not that person going around like trying to convince people to eat like this.
well, it's really funny because sometimes what happens is, and I've got two stories that illustrate this, but sometimes it's not people you directly know, but it's people that they've maybe talked to about you. And I used to do a meetup, and I still have a meetup group, but it's not very active and stuff. And so I had this group, and people would come along once in a while. And this young woman came along once, and she said, "You know, before I came to the group, I wasn't sure whether to come or not." And I'd heard, and I asked why, and she said that she spoke to someone in her work and said that she was coming to the meetup. And the person at work said, "Oh, I know someone that knows him." And this is someone I'd never met before, you know, but someone had spoken about me to someone else, and it like passed down the chain of people. And then she heard a story that was like my family were all worried about me, and I'd lost all this weight, and I was, you know, I eventually found out it was a school friend randomly that must have seen what I was doing on Facebook or whatever and passed it on to someone else. But it's funny when you start to realize like your story doesn't just stay with you and the people around you, like it gets passed along. And there was a year at the UK festival where we went to the same venue a number of years, and so we went back to the same venue, and one of the attendees went for a walk, and there was a woman on the site because we shared this site with other guests and stuff and other parties. And there was a lady that said, "Oh, are you with the Fruit Festival?" And she went, "Yeah." And she said, "Oh, I heard about that last year because I was here last year." Like she was staying at the same site last year. So I heard about it, and I went and investigated it online, and I've lost 50 pounds, and I changed my diet. And that lady had didn't attend the Fruit Festival. She just heard about it. She just heard it was happening and went and had a look and investigated it and learned more. So it's like you never quite know where your impact's going or where your example's going. It's often ironically not the people around you that necessarily take the lead from it, but along the line, other people do.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. And you know what? It reminds me of something too, which is that you can have people that become concerned about you. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding that happens. And also like losing weight. Like for example, when I was going through this many years, it's now been what, 8, 9 years or something that I've been investigating this stuff, but like there was a time where I was losing weight and I became kind of like gaunt looking. And I did kind of look like I don't know, just kind of, and my skin was like kind of got really pale, and I was like, and so I didn't look that healthy, but you can see this happen where the body will sometimes break itself down and get rid of stuff and then build itself back up. So then after that, I started to get look more athletic and get more tone. And so but there was a time when people were like worried about me. And so when people are worried about you and family and stuff like that, just know they're not out to get you. They're genuinely worried. And that's why you should really get more educated. The more educated you can get the better, because you can explain things like, hey, here's where I get my protein, or hey, here's the the nutritional side of it, because people are going to ask you these questions. They're going to be genuinely concerned. And so educate yourself and really understand how to answer those questions that you're going to get.
Fantastic. And what would be your main piece of advice for someone that was starting off down this path?
Well, I mean, you're going to want to figure out, how committed are you? Why are you interested in this path? Are you did you have a relative that died from health problems? Are you worried about a health problem? Are you, do you feel like you're being held back, like you're not realizing your potential, and you have so much more energy that you could have, and vibrance? And so figure out how committed are you, because if you're not committed, if you're just kind of interested and you're kind of looking in off the sidelines, then I don't know if you're going to really go after it. But really figure out, like, what's your motivation, because if you are motivated and if you really do want that result, this information works, and you can figure out the details. There's a lot of pitfalls. There's a lot of nuances. There's ways to learn this information to make it more effective. But you're only going to do that and learn that info and apply it to the degree that you're committed to whatever your own personal motivation is. And so really get in touch with that. And then if you really are motivated and you're like, no, I want to change, I want to solve a problem, I want to go to the next level, then really learn from, people like Ronnie, myself. Like, I write articles about stuff I put on my website, rapid regeneration. Like, learn from people and figure out how to do it more effectively. Like, don't just learn by mistakes. Learn from people and do it the easy way, not the hard way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk about your involvement with the Texas Festival then. How did that start? In fact, what I want to do firstly quickly is, what's a typical day for you then, diet wise at the moment? What or even health wise in general, diet, what's a typical day?
Yeah, sure. So, I normally always start with the same meal, which is I like to do a big smoothie that's mostly bananas. So I'll normally wake up and go maybe 2 hours without eating. And then basically for the first meal, I'll make a big smoothie with like 12 or 15 bananas, and then maybe some blueberry, maybe some mango, maybe some greens in there. I've been getting into kind of a few like vitamins and minerals. So sometimes I'll put some powder in there and maybe a sprinkle of sea salt. I'm experimenting around too, but first meal is normally a big smoothie, 64 ounces of smoothie. And then lately I've been just into the fruit. So I normally eat two meals a day. That's it. It's kind of evolved over that. And so for the second meal, I might have, 10 oranges, and then maybe a big bowl of apples, or a big bowl of strawberries or pineapple. So the second meal is always kind of up in the air. It could be all kind of different fruits, or it could be a salad. But normally, yeah, that's the first meal, is big banana smoothie. And then second meal, lately I've been really just eating a lot of fruit. So, but sometimes it's a salad. Sometimes I'll do some, maybe some hemp and chia seeds ground up, and then I'll make like a pate and put that with the salad.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you a recipe guy? I mean, you're saying you're more into the, you're going towards more simplicity, it seems, with the fruits. Are you a recipe guy? Are you a mono meals guy? Like, do you like to, do you do the same thing all the time? You like to mix it up? What's your way of doing it?
I'm not the most glamorous, like raw vegan person. Like I see people on Instagram and I'm like, man, that looks amazing. You know, like I wish I could, you know, maybe that's one thing I'll grow into and it's fun. You know, you should get a dehydrator and you should get, these recipes and try them out for yourself. I just, my schedule is normally, I keep a really busy schedule. And so that's mostly what it comes down to is that
Right.
I want to prepare something quick and easy. So I'm really a smoothie guy. I like smoothies and I like yeah, I guess getting more into mono meals, although there's nothing wrong with mixing fruits together. I mean, maybe there is, but you know, that's okay too. But mostly it's I'll do like two different fruits for dinner. But yeah, I'll eat them one and then the other kind of separately. But
Amazing.
just for expediency's sake,
That's
I like the prepared raw vegan foods too, but I like those too, but just don't prepare much.
so let's talk about the Texas Fruit Festival and how did you find out about that? How did you get involved?
Yeah, so it was started in 2021, and basically another person started it, Tiffany, and she put on a really great event. And basically, I got involved in 2022 for the second one. And I was basically helping Tiffany out with that one. And then for the third year, you know, the founder of Texas Fruit Festival basically was just dealing with a lot of things, you know, family has family responsibilities and work responsibilities, and just basically asked if I could take it over because just didn't have the bandwidth. And so for the third one, which was 2023, basically I took it over and put it on with the help of other people like Skylar, Karen and Maya and Dulce, and you know, there was people that helped, a lot of people that helped out. And yeah, you know, it's funny because we do like a regular meetup in Austin. So if you're ever in Austin, we normally meet the first Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. at Casa de Luz. And so for us, it was kind of like, well, we're doing a meetup anyways. Let's just do a festival. Like, let's all pitch in. And anyway, so that's how I got involved, and but it wasn't yeah, that's how I got involved with
Yeah,
Texas
that's
Festival.
great. I was thinking there that Dulce, who I met at the festival, I think that she didn't go to Woodstock, right? But I think she maybe went to a retreat somewhere,
Yes.
Bali or something. And
Yes.
I want to say this to people, like, and I know there's different reasons for going to different things, but for me personally, with like if the decision is, do I go to Woodstock or do I go to like a retreat in Bali or Thailand or something like that? I would 100% always choose going to like one of the festivals over going to like a retreat in Bali. That's my personal opinion and feeling about it. And
I tried to convince her, Ronnie.
well,
Dulce, if you're listening to this, Dulce, come to Woodstock next year. We want you there.
well,
No,
people.
but she,
Yeah, sorry.
yeah. Well, she also got certified in she was getting certified as a yoga instructor.
Right.
But
Yeah.
she did listen to me, and she said, and Dulce, if you're listening, she did say that she was going to come to Woodstock, hopefully next year. Because you're right, Ronnie is right. It'll be better than whatever the other.
Well, you loved it more than maybe anyone this year, because I remember speaking to you at the event, and you were like, totally blown away by it. I felt like you just absolutely loved it and you really got it.
No, it was. It was, you know, and the other thing is, I think people are on a subconscious level. I'm gonna go out on a limb here, but people are, they're afraid to really do something nice for themselves.
Wow.
You know, like they feel like maybe on a subconscious level, on an emotional level, like maybe they don't really deserve it. Like they're like, oh, you know, it's so extravagant and everything like that. And so when you do something like that for yourself, it is powerful. Yes, because it's a great event, but you're really like valuing yourself and no, but I was having a blast because the event was so well done. The vibrations there were unbelievable, and the people were just amazing.
Yeah, you were. I can't even remember what you said to me, but you were just like, I remember just your face, and you said something like, as if it was like one of the best times or whatever. Or I can't remember the phrase, but you just looked blown away by it. You were like so happy to be there.
I was having a blast, and I was completely blown away. And I remember that conversation, yeah.
Yeah, it's always funny for me because I've had friends as well over the years that sometimes contact me before some of these events, and they would say, "Or oh, are you going to Woodstock?" And I was going, and they were saying, oh, "I'm not sure I'm going to go." And this person isn't going, that person isn't going, and I'd be saying like, "But it's always good. Like it doesn't matter who's there or who can't make it or whatever. Like it's always going to be. It's not going to be perfect, but it's always going to be great." And like, there's people that talk themselves out of it as well. There's people that they talk, they say, oh, it's not the same, or it's not this, that, it's not the same venue. It's people just talk themselves out of these great experiences. And I've always felt like I went to Woodstock from the time I started going, I went every year. And the reason for that was I always thought like this is such a precious thing and it's probably going to stop at some point, and I want to sort of get the most out of it. But I always had to remind myself. I could see it even in myself, but I'd go, why do I go to this thing? Like, why should I go back? And then I would arrive and I would just remember straight away and just be like, this is amazing. I just love being here. But yeah, some people don't get it. But I do. There's a lot of people that run retreats now, and I'm not like trying to whatever
No,
tear down
Woodstock is the
retreats.
king. It's the king. It's the Mac Daddy of all retreats.
I don't want to like speak badly
But
about
there's
certain
other good
people.
ones too, right? There's other good ones too.
Yeah, well, people do, there's a lot of influencers, right? And this the other thing I find funny is like there's people that have millions of followers and then they do retreats with like 10 people. And you're like, how come you're doing these really small retreats? And people like to go to these exotic places and these retreats and nice retreat centers and stuff, and I'm just looking at it going, man, I'm really glad I'm not I'm way happier going to like Woodstock, what, because I just like the amount of people. I think that's one of the things I like, the fact that it's like a big group of
Like
people. You can
a village.
speak to someone new every day. I think a retreat for me would have made sense maybe closer to the start, where if I really needed one-to-one guidance from that person and really needed the time and a small group to like work on the raw vegan diet. But now, like, if I go to a raw vegan retreat, like I don't need to hear the talk so much, I don't need
I didn't go to any lectures
recipes. Yeah, yeah.
at Woodstock.
Yeah, so it's like, but
What's your message, Ronnie, to people? Because you went to the Camp Walden in New York, Woodstock. What's your message to people who are wondering about, okay, did it live up to the hype of being in Florida now? Did they do a good job? What's your take? Because you experienced both. What was your take of how the new one went in Florida?
I think that firstly, when they changed, right? So what happened was Woods they ended in Walden in 2021, I think, or 2022 was the last time it was in Walden. And at the end they said like they weren't signing anyone up, We don't have a venue yet. We're looking for a venue. And honestly, I was like, this might be the last time because having run events and stuff, I know what it's like when you finish an event and then you're thinking, should I do this again next year? And really what's going on in your head is like, do I really want to do this again? Like, this is a lot of work, a lot of effort. You're putting, you know, have to invest in finding a venue, stuff up front. So I know what that's like to look at that, and it's kind of scary and all that. And I thought maybe they won't want to do it. And then when they announced it, I was like, maybe they won't get enough people signed up. Maybe they're expecting this to go better than they thought. But actually, it was packed. You know, they pretty much had it packed with people. You know, the venue was in many ways inferior to Camp Walden, which, but it's hard to replicate that. The one advantage it had maybe over Camp Walden was it was on one level. So it was all flat, whereas Walden was on a hill. But even that hill made it sort of, you had such an amazing view, you know, because if you went up to the hill, you'd just see this amazing view over the lake. So Walden was like this magical place. And because people were there for a number of years, like we really got used to it. It wasn't like a super deluxe place, really. I remember John, who's speaking, the first speaker at the Texas Fruit Fest, he was talking about Woodstock to me, and he was talking about like waking up and the creaky cabin doors. And it just sent me back to Walden. Like all the cabin doors were like creaky, and like the if you walk through your cabin, like it was all uneven and stuff, and the floorboards and everything. So it was like these basic cabins, but the actual site with the lake and the weather at that time of year was so nice, such a good environment, and sitting on the hill. So it probably wasn't quite the same as Walden, or quite as good a place. And the time of year made the fruit selection maybe a little limited, where at Walden you would maybe have the figs as well, and you'd have other summer fruits like peaches and all that stuff coming out. Walden had a lot more indoor space stuff. Like they had kind of a gymnastics room. They had a couple of big halls for talks. They had this movie room for talks. So there was a lot of different spaces like that, and all that kind of stuff. And generally, it was like close to a mountain. It was close to a forest. That was quite cool, you know, that kind of aspect of it. And a lot of people felt the home, you know, where Woodstock was this year, home Miami or whatever. A lot of people had these weird vibes about it, even prior to it, right? No one ever had any weird vibes about Walden. But prior to Woodstock, people were saying to me, oh, my friends went to a festival there. It's a weird place. The people who own it, there's something wrong. Like there was rumors already. And some people I knew didn't go because they felt it was kind of a strange place and stuff. I didn't think it was that weird, but I did hear things about it afterwards. Like someone said that it was like a Colombian cartel family house or something like that. Or I don't know if you heard any of those rumors, but there was some weird stuff that happened. And but I mean, the weather was great. The weather was pretty much perfect. I like that area. I think that's a cool area, like the Redlands area. It was a huge space. Like we had lots of space there, and I think the downside for some people was the camping facilities and the toilet and shower facilities were way down from what they'd had at Walden, where there was better shower and toilet facilities for the campers, and in general there were more. Well, even in saying that, the showers weren't amazing at Walden, but there's probably just a little bit more facilities for them. I think Woodstock itself, this year, actually the venue wasn't really a big part of what people complained about. Some of the people that did, it wasn't. The venue was actually good. They probably could have used it better, and there was things that really should be organized better in advance. How the food was put out the first night, it took ages for people to get fed. I think there was times where things were an hour late. There was events you were going to that were 20 minutes late, 30 minutes late. It's like stuff like that doesn't need to happen. So there was just a lack of management, leadership, organization for some of that element of it. But the food was really great, I thought, in general. And once again, it's about it's for me, for a lot of people there, it's about the people. And if there's a comfortable space to be, food, some stuff to do, like it's really not that complicated. We enjoy ourselves, we spend time with friends, we meet new people, and we have a blast. Like it's really simple. Sharing this lifestyle with other people, just eating fruit in the sunshine, by the, jumping in the water, being with friends. Like I've got friends, people that I've known for 10 years, nine to eight, nine, 10 years, that I've had significant moments in my life with, that I was spending time with at the Woodstock this year. It's just, I don't get that much where I am at home. I ironically, like, I have more friends like there, I guess, than in my, to some degree, in my where I live here. So that's the one downside about these festivals, is like people leave and spread out, and they go because people come over all over the world to visit these things, and then they all disappear, and that's a bit of a downside. So for me, like, I'd like to do a really more local festival, maybe in the
Yes.
course of what you have with it. And just to say, Tiffany reached out to me prior to starting the Texas Festival years ago, and I'll tell you a little bit of the story of that, where she reached out to me. She reached out to a number of people, not just me. She reached out to a number of people, and I said to her, she had a big dream, right? She wanted to book this venue. She wanted to get loads of people there, and she had this big plan. And I just was talking to her, and I was saying, like, do you have experience with doing this? Do you have any background with this? Do you know it? Do you have like a network and an audience of people that might come? Do you know any of the influencers, or do you? As I was asking all these different questions, and she pretty much didn't. She had the passion and desire to do it, but she didn't have a lot of resources wise. And I said to her, I think what you should maybe do is just do a meetup, and just do that for a while, and build a network of people, and get in touch with people, and start developing the idea, and find people that you can do it with, and see if you like running events and stuff, and then do it. And I think that, I think she wanted a bit more than that. I think she wanted me to sort of coach her a bit more in running this event. And I had to say to her at one point, listen, I'm not a coach. Like, I don't teach people to do this, and I don't necessarily want to push people into doing this, because it can be a difficult thing. And I think she sort of fell out with me a little bit, and didn't want to speak to me after that for a while. But also, like, she shared something about breatharianism or something, and I was like, do you really believe in that? And I think maybe she did at the time, or she was interested in that, and I didn't, and we had a bit of a conflict over that maybe. But it's great that she did it and put it together. And I remember in the first year she had David Wolf there, and I was really like impressed by, surprised by that. Like, I've been trying to do an interview with David Wolf, like, in this podcast for years, and I've got through to an assistant or something, but they never like actually make it happen, because we're not a big enough podcast, I guess, for him. But to be honest, but so I was surprised. Like, I guess he's like a friend of Tiffany's or something, or something. So,
Yeah, she got a bunch of people. She got
Jane and
Robert
Sterling as well.
Shane, John from OK Raw,
Oh, yeah.
and even Robert Moore spoke over Zoom. He
Yep.
but no, she had a huge Tiffany's, I mean, special person, and had a giant vision of changing the whole world, and to explode, starting here in Central Texas. And so kind of amazing that her vision of starting that. And by the way, circling back to the Woodstock question, if you're listening to this, okay, you just heard Ronnie. He's not sugarcoating it. He just said Walden is a superior venue, but like, so he's not like sugarcoating this, but he's still saying Woodstock is a great event, and to go to it. And so, like, we don't get paid by Woodstock. We don't have any reason to tell you to go to Woodstock, other than
I know.
it's fun and you should go.
Hey, let me be even more honest. Let me be even more. Let's get to the even more honest about this. Like, not only am I not paid by Woodstock, like I've always paid to go and I always want to pay, but not only that, like they don't even treat me that well. Like, I've been going to that event for 10, 11 years, every single year, multiple times. I've booked like a private room and spent more money and all that, traveling from abroad. Like, they never reach out to me and send me a personal message or a thank you or really anything. Like, it's not like Woodstock itself or the people involved who run it are like treat us all fantastically well. It's not like they're the best at customer service or admin or management, or like there's a lot of flaws in what they do, you know. And I'm happy to share that with people, and in a sense, and like here are some of the downsides if you want, you know, that there is a sense sometimes of it's a little bit mismanaged or it's a little bit all over the place. And the opening ceremony was like a lot of different people sharing different ideas, and the closing ceremony, and one of the random attendees stood up and started making a speech like out of the blue. It's quite a good speech actually, but it's just like there's a little bit of like chaos involved at times. But even with all that, the thing of being able to bring all those like-minded people together, 250 odd people, the food is all is the food was the food team is great. Like the people that run the food and everything, is they've been doing it for years and they're usually really, really good. They made a few small mistakes this year, but it's usually really good. So when you get the food right,
Oh, the food was phenomenal.
the venue is pretty good, you know. There is activities if you want to go. A lot of people don't even bother to go to a lot of the activities, but they are there. And we had a the lagoon area. There was like a party every day, you know,
That was
and
fun.
they do have a few people there that bring the vibe, you know, the fun vibe, the party, the music, the sugarcane bar, the orange juice bar, the all that stuff, and that just adds that little bit of special to it. And you know, Jeanette's a good leader at the event. I think they could do with a stronger leadership. I like a little bit stronger leadership, stronger structure, like keeping things on time. And I think their schedule, I would say to people, I don't like the way they write their schedule. I think it's too many things on at the same time, too many, like,
It was hard to choose sometimes, hard to choose.
hard,
Because
yeah. So you would have eight things on sometimes, eight things on at the same time, and then you would have a period where there's nothing on. And their argument to that is, well, people need the time to socialize and get to know each other, but people will choose to do that anyway, regardless of what's on the schedule and everything is. When you get into one of those, I call them like Woodstock conversations, because you turn up at Woodstock. Like, literally, I turned up at the airport to take the bus to the festival, right? And one of the first conversations I had was with a friend of mine, and she starts talking to me, and we're talking, and really quickly she's talking about when she goes to sleep, she has like lucid dreams, she goes on journeys. We're talking about that. It's like, I don't have conversations like this in regular life most of the time. You know what I mean? Like, this is the kind of conversation that happens at Woodstock all the time. This is like the first conversation with people. Like, they talk to you about their lucid dream traveling, astral projection stuff, and like whatever. Like, just amazing stories and things that you hear from people. And then someone's like, they nearly died and they healed from that. And you're just listening to like amazing stories from people all the time. And I can't express to people how the connection and just the people value of it. Like, I don't know what you call that, but I love it, man. I love it.
I'll mention one last thing about Woodstock, which is I think one of my favorite parts about it, because you said something earlier, which is you don't have to be a raw vegan to enjoy it. I met this couple there, and it was like the first night,
Right.
and I saw them there at the dining hall, and it was like this couple, and they were they were very new to even like plant-based, and they were like wide-eyed. Their eyes were like saucers. They were looking around. They were like, yeah, I mean, we just heard about this whole thing, and we just, for our health, and older couple, and they're like, we just wanted to give this a try for our health. Nothing else was working. The doctors were telling us to do paleo and keto, and we just keep getting worse, and so we're just going to give this a try. And they were so green to everything, and they were like, we don't even know how we're going to eat like this for a whole week. Like, it's we're going to get so hungry. And then I saw them again, like on like the fourth night, and they're like, man, we're having a total blast. We're not hungry at all. We're loving this. Like, that was one of the funnest things for me to see, like, because they were so not raw vegans, decided to come to this event, and they were having an absolute blast. I mean, that was great.
The random people that have showed up at that festival over the years that have no right to be there. It's like why, like when you speak to them and they're like, as you're saying, like they've never been raw a day in their life. They're not vegan, and you're like, how did you get here? And I can't get raw vegans to come to this. Like you really shouldn't be here, and yet they fit in. They have a great time. They
Yep.
there's a lot of people like that who just. Maybe they came through a friend or someone mentioned it to them or something random. And, like, by all rights, they shouldn't be there. They're not the kind of person you would expect. But they become like a really, sometimes they become a really important part of the event and they love it. And they're not, I like, literally not vegan even, but they love coming to the Woodstock. Like, there's so many people that have been like that. And it's been a common thing where a woman, has brought her family to the event, and she's like, I didn't know my husband would like this and all this. And this has happened at a lot of the festivals, and the husband has a better time than the wife. And he's not a vegan or a raw vegan. He's just loving it. Like he's just, getting involved with the activities, the sports, the fun, that's one thing I'd like Woodstock to get the sports. There was a volleyball court there. We didn't have one game. I wish we'd had a more organized someone doing this, like coordinating the sports, and we used to have soccer games, basketball games. That was, but that's me, my own personal thing.
It reminds me of how I run Texas Fruit Festival in a way, because I really don't think I'm a great that great of a manager, it was a bit disorganized, and there were some issues with it, but at the end of the day, we had over 100 people. It was a giant party. Everyone had a good time. Great food, music, and speakers, and like you're saying, if you get in a good venue, good food, and get the right people together there, it's gonna be a guaranteed amazing time.
If the only way they could mess up is if the food was not coming out. Like to be honest, this the first or second the first year I went to Woodstock, there was not enough fruit going out. There was
Okay, that's a problem.
there was a bad food situation, and I still went away from that event, loved it. Right. So even with the food, so literally that year they were putting out fruit and it was clearly not ripe. Like there was just stuff that there was like rock hard apples. There was a lot of lychees. There was some things they had loads of, right? And they had frozen durian, but it was all really frozen. There was I just my memory of it was there wasn't like something they could just grab and eat like grapes. Like, something like a big thing of grapes or easy peeler oranges, or just stuff you could get. Like, there just wasn't enough stuff. So, and like, what started to happen was they'd put out, say, some boxes of mangoes in the morning, and people would go down, take boxes, and take them back to their
Oh no.
cabin. Literally, there was a woman in our cabin that had four or five things of mangoes. So selfish. like so selfish behavior, right? Scat, like people, I can't remember what you call it, but kind of like,
Turns into like Lord of the Flies.
people started to do that. And there was a funny moment where I went in and I guess they just started the orange juice machine, the OJ machine had just started being put on. And so I queued up. I got two big things of orange juice. So maybe they hadn't had it on early in the event or something. And I went outside and I walked out with these two big cups of orange juice. And it was like everyone just looked over, like, like so jealous. And people like ran in to get orange juice. Like they were like, wait, they're serving orange, because people were just sitting on the lawn, weren't eating anything, because there just wasn't like enough, there just wasn't enough fruit, like in my memory of it. So that was a year that, and I think that year as well, it used to be the case with the 80-10-10 diet with Rob Egan diet, because people were very influenced by Durian Rider back in the day. And he was telling people, you need to like eat so many calories, like you need to be eating massive amounts of bananas and fruits and as much as you can stuff it in. So people had that mentality on top of it, where so if any fruit went out, people were getting it and wanting to eat as much of it as possible and all that stuff. And so that was maybe that was causing a problem as well. But they a lot of their they'd order a lot of stuff and it didn't cut and it came on, it was unripe. The bananas couldn't go out, the dates couldn't, even the dates, like it wasn't like dates, it was like fresh dates where they were rock hard, so they couldn't put them out. It was they just like a lot of bunch of stuff went wrong for
Oh
them.
my God.
Yeah. And but I would say that even with that, it was a great year, but it really did improve. And now, and in the last few years, like when you can go and there's like and eat as much jackfruit as you like and stuff like that, like there's
Oh, the food,
not many places
unbelievable.
you can do that. And I'd like to be able to do that at UK Fruit Fest. We do that once in a while, or maybe 1 or 2 days or whatever, but we don't have that kind of range every day that they have. But no, it's I do love it. I hope it can continue. I hope it's right for the people that are running it and involved with it. I think they've got some good people around them now, and I hope they can create a bit of a vision and a plan of what they want to do, what they want to turn it into. Because that's an
Yes.
attendee as well. Like I want to feel the vision, and that's something that I felt this year. Like, where's it going? What are we doing here? Like, what's happening next? What's you kind of want to know that as well. You want to feel like, I don't want this to be the last time I see all these people. I'd like to know that something's going to happen. Even
Yes.
like the WhatsApp group. I don't know if you're in the WhatsApp group, but that's Howard that started. It wasn't Woodstock that started it. It's Howard. Well, why doesn't Woodstock run that? Or, they don't really do much on their social media. They don't do much on their Facebook pages. Like, it's just very, feels a little bit like nothing's happening sometimes, but it's always been like that. But anyway, so
Do
let's.
it again, Woodstock. Do another one, please, in 2025. And yeah.
How can people get in touch with you or find out about you, or if they want to come to your meetups and the Texas event, where's the best way for them to find you and interact?
Yeah. So if you want to do the Texas Fruit Festival in 2024, it's going to be October 19th and 20th that weekend. It's a free event that weekend. You can go to texasfruitfestival.com. That also has the details of our meetup that we do here in Austin. And then, I've also, whenever I do something, I try to make an article about it, write about it, whether it's things we talked about, like, foods you can cheat with, cheat foods, dealing with junk foods, or, liver cleansing, or any of these things, I'll put on my website in an article, which is rapidregeneration.com, or you can follow me at Rapid Regeneration. And yeah, that's just what I'm up to try to keep sharing the information that I've learned, like what you're doing. And hopefully, if you're out there listening to this and trying to improve your own situation, that this will help you do it faster than it took for Ronnie and for myself. Because we were having trouble finding the good information, and now we're gonna hopefully help you with that.
I'm just seeing that you've got a whole article here about your experience at Woodstock in a video, so that's really great. I'm going, I want to share that.
Yes, I did. That was my most recent episode. I talked about that. Yeah, my experience at Woodstock, unbiased experience, and overall positive, and would recommend to go. Just like you, absolutely.
Excellent. Well, Dave, thank you very much for taking the time out today. I've really enjoyed hearing more about your story, and you've got a great ability to communicate and express yourself. So I think it would be good if you definitely do a talk at the festival next year, your event next year. Good luck with everything. Any last advice or anything you'd like to say at the end?
Last advice is, first of all, someday I'm going to go to the UK Fruit Festival. I need to figure out getting across the pond and everything like that. And if you're on the fence, if you're in the UK, or if you're on the fence about UK Fruit Festival, do it. Make the commitment, because it's a powerful, it's a metaphysical thing that happens when you make that commitment, and you do that for yourself, and you invest the time, invest the money, and you do something like that. Something happens powerfully, and it's spiritual. But on top of that, it's a great people, and great to be a part of an event like that. So yes, if you're on the fence, definitely consider the UK Fruit Festival. If you're here in U.S., check out Texas Fruit Festival, Woodstock Fruit Festival, and just keep going and stay strong. Whatever you do, even if you don't go to a festival, keep learning. The information is out there, and you can do it. Just stay committed.
Yeah, I think Texas Fruit Fest, if you do it the same format as last time, is such a no-brainer. It's, some people might say, I can't take a week off for Woodstock. I understand that, or whatever it is. But Texas Fruit Fest, it's over a weekend, and you could even go for one day. Like, it's Texas is very, I think, easy to get to for a lot of Austin, Texas, for a lot of the US. Maybe it's a $50 sprint. What was it? Sprint flight or whatever it's called? Spirit, sorry, Spirit or whatever. Like cheap air flights and whatever to get there. Like it's so simple and it's
We'll
these
find you a place to stay. If you're not a complete weirdo, we'll find you a place to stay. Just get in touch with me. Get in touch with me. Get yourself here.
Yeah. And thank you for what you said about the UK festivals. 20 for this year, which is 2024, depending on where, well, obviously people might listen to it in the future, but for this year, we run from the 26th of July to the 2nd of August. We usually are the last week of July for people that are interested. And this will be the 11th festival. I'm hoping to have about 120 people. We have approximately 40 tickets left at this time, so you can go to fruitfest.co.uk or email me info@fruitfest.co.uk and find out more about that and see if it's right for you. So thank you very much, everyone, for watching and listening. And we'll see you in another episode of the Love Fruit podcast. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Ronnie.